Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave, how are you, buddy?
Well, I'm a little sad, actually.
Why is that?
It's the end of an era. It's the end of an era.
What happened?
Gardner Minshew no longer starting for the Jacksonville
Jaguars. Like that.
It's
I don't
Nick
like
Foles.
That.
The stash is in the trash bowl, and it's very sad.
I agree with you. I actually started him the last 2 weeks because I had, in my two-quarterback league, I had Lamar Jackson on a bye 2 weeks ago, and then Matt Ryan on a bye this week.
Well, that worked out for you one of the 2 weeks.
This week didn't work out. I still won, but
that's good.
It didn't work. You know, last night I had one of those exciting moments when it comes down to the last 2 minutes of Monday Night Football, one of your matchups.
Oh, yeah.
I got that.
Were you impacted by the fumble, the Daniel Jones fumble for return for a touchdown?
I was not, no. Do you know somebody who was?
Oh, yeah. Guy in my own, Adam Azer, our podcast host.
Right. That cost him a matchup?
Down 4 points or something like that.
Yeah.
And he had the Cowboys defense. They returned the fumble for a touchdown, and he wins.
Wow. Oh, yeah, the Cowboys defense. Oh, my God. And so if they had just gotten the fumble but no touchdown, he still would have lost?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's a
painful. Can you imagine losing a fantasy game that way?
Oh, that's brutal.
Week that way?
That's brutal.
I'd punch something.
Well, a guy in my matchup in one of my leagues last night, I won the last Saquon Barkley catch for that 7 yards, 5 yards, whatever it was. That gave me the win.
All right.
And then it got so I had Brett Maher, so that I got an extra point on that extra point. That sealed the deal. And the guy who beat me, we had the two best scores of the week in a 14-team league.
Oh, that happens.
Yeah,
all
that's
the
painful.
Time, where the top score goes up against the second highest score. Like, you almost want to give a tie or something just for having the second highest score and just had some rotten luck running into the juggernaut of the week.
Yeah, no,
enough to make you wear a maroon scarf and a Columbo overcoat to a press conference.
Speaking of which, Baker's been a disaster. I mean, outside of Nick Chubb, the Browns have been a terrible fantasy team, which is stunning.
It really is, isn't it? And,
yes.
And I still cling to the belief, and I guess I'm in the minority among Clevelanders here, but I'm of the belief that Baker is still a good quarterback. He's just in a rough situation where the offensive line has made him jittery, and the coaching and the play calling just hasn't been great. So he's doing the best that he can with what he's given, and it's just not leading to the type of production that everybody was expecting. And he's also running for his life half the time out there. I still think he's got it. So I would not be in a freak-out mode if I were a Browns fan, but if I'm a fantasy manager, I've already bolted from Baker. The ship has sailed. You can't start him and feel good about him, at least not until Week 12 when the Dolphins come to town. Because you want to see bad defense, Bull, go fire up some Miami Dolphins football. Somehow they look good against Sam Darnold in Week 9. But Darnold, that's another guy who that's more of a lost cause at quarterback, just from what I see, than Baker Mayfield at this point. You'd rather be a Browns fan than a Jets fan.
Well, at the moment, you'd rather be a Lamar Jackson fan than anybody else because he has been not – I mean, he's as great an NFL quarterback as he's been. He's been even a better fantasy quarterback. The guy has got the highest floor in the history of fantasy football.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got one game this year with under 20 fantasy points and 6 points per touchdown leagues. So that makes perfect sense. He's been 29 or better in half of his last six.
Yeah.
He's really just been incredible running the ball. And you almost think that the Patriots would go into their matchup with him last week trying to make him throw and not let him run. And what does he do? He runs all over them. He had two touchdowns. It was unbelievable. We debated today what his trade value is in fantasy.
Yeah.
Because usually when it comes to quarterbacks, this is certainly the case in one quarterback league, quarterback values certainly aren't as high as, like, the best running backs. Like, you can't trade Lamar Jackson for Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
McCaffrey's just on a whole other level. But I still think you could get – I wonder if you could get Nick Chubb right now for Lamar Jackson in a fantasy league because of how Chubb's been great. And I'm not saying that he's going to be bad even with Kareem Hunt coming back. But Kareem Hunt is coming, and he will take some work away from Chubb. And maybe that makes him more of a top 15 fantasy running back moving forward. Whereas Lamar Jackson pretty clearly is the number one quarterback in fantasy. So it's curious. I'm curious what people are getting for Jackson.
Yeah,
in offers right now.
I mean, this is different because it's, in my big league, it's a two quarterback keeper league. So a guy's got, so not only do I have Lamar Jackson, I got him at $12, which is an extremely low number for a good quarterback. Like in our draft, Lamar Jackson would go for 50 or maybe 55. And I got him for 12. So people were coming to me to try to trade for him. And I got some huge offers, but I turned everything down. I turned everything down because in a two-quarterback league, I mean, in this league that I'm talking about, Dave, he's averaging 50 points a week. To put that in perspective, the 10th best quarterback, Kyler Murray, is averaging 38 a week, which is still really good. But that's a 12-point difference between the first and the 10th quarterback. Forget the first and the 20th quarterback.
So now I guess the question I would pose to you is if someone had Christian McCaffrey in your league and offered him straight up for Lamar Jackson, which I think is pretty close to a fair deal in a two-quarterback league, would you do it?
The guy that's a good question. That's the only player I would consider doing.
Right.
That is the. That's a great question. And he's
like
got,
I bet you would turn down – well, it's a keeper league, so you might not turn down, like, Saquon.
Yeah, Saquon's got a better contract than McCaffrey. McCaffrey's got a pretty good – here, I'll give you one more amazing story about my league, and then I'll move on because I've told enough. But the guy who has McCaffrey in my league is 9-0. Last year, he went a perfect 16-0 and won the Super Bowl.
And now he's 9-0 again.
And now he's 9-0. He has won 26 weeks in a row going back to the end of the 2017 season. I'll give a shout-out. His name is Alex. Awesome. 26 weeks in a row.
So props to Alex.
Yeah.
I've got an undefeated team going right now. And
yeah.
I've had very good teams in the past. Last year I helped somebody go undefeated. But I've never had one like that. That's
amazing. Never seen anything like it. Anyway, all right, Dave, let's get
to sure he's not cheating? Are we sure that he's not?
He probably is. He plays the right team every week. Like it just seems like he has the right matchup every week. But anyway, I mean, it's incredible. But, okay, let's get to some of the injuries here. We've got Jacoby Brissett banged up. We've got and Gardner Minshew benched. What do we make of some of these quarterbacks? And is Matt Ryan coming back this week? What's going on with some of these quarterback situations?
Yeah, you didn't even mention the biggie, which is Cam Newton.
Oh, and Cam Newton, right, yeah.
I mean, we've been without him since week three anyway, so I think we've kind of gotten used to life without Cam. And
sure.
It was clear that he wasn't coming back soon. I think we knew that he was going to be on the shelf for a while. So Kyle Allen will be the starter there, but it's not like he's somebody that's going to save your fantasy season. He's a good bye week replacement if your quarterback is on bye in week 11, which is Russell Wilson's bye week. And I only know that because I've got Wilson on half my teams. And he's been doing good, speaking of great quarterbacks. But okay, if you need a quarterback this week, there's six teams on bye. My favorite one to go and pick up. And, I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth, full, but Ryan Tannehill. has given you at least 22 fantasy points each of his last three games. He's been good. He looked great 3 weeks ago. He's kind of looked okay since, but he's found a way to put up numbers. And I think against Kansas City, I think he's got a chance to do it again. So I would trust him above all others, and he's going to be out there in like 75% of CBS Sports leagues. Really high number that he's out there. And another Ryan at quarterback is Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think he's going to get benched for Josh Rosen. I think the Dolphins' game script is pretty obvious at this point. Their defense stinks. Their run game's in trouble. They're going to have to throw the ball every week, and Fitzpatrick is a decent enough quarterback. So I think he's someone that you can go and use if you're without Deshaun Watson this week, if you're without Tom Brady this week, if you're without Dwayne Haskins this week. No, I'm just kidding. No one started Dwayne Haskins in the first place. So
there's
a lot of other quarterbacks. Daniel Jones was a popular name on our show today on CBS Sports, and he will be on our show tonight. But I think that the other way to go is with the Ryans. Ryan Fitzpatrick behind Ryan Tannehill. Those are my two top quarterbacks to add off waivers this week.
All right. One of our guys who works here, Mike, texted me before. He's like, I got to know what Dave thinks about Kenyon Drake. Obviously, he had a huge game this past week on Thursday Night Football. What is going on with the other – Chase Edmonds was doing well before he got hurt. David Johnson was doing well before he got hurt. Drake goes in there. He does a great job in that one game. What are we making right now of Arizona's backfield?
Well, first and foremost, I want to give props to Cliff Kingsbury because he came into the season trying to use four receiver sets, five receiver sets, and running the air raid offense. And he learned pretty quickly that he couldn't just do that. And he started to take advantage of other teams' weaknesses. And he also kept trying to stick with the run. And he realized pretty quickly from the first play on the game against the 49ers last Thursday that he could run against them. And he did. And Kenyon Drake with those fresh legs did get the job done. What we saw a couple of weeks ago when David Johnson wasn't tricking us with his fantasy usage, he was getting right around 70% of the snaps for Arizona. And then Chase Edmonds was getting the other 30%, a little less than 30%, I'd say. So that's probably what you're going to see. Maybe you'll see Drake get right to 30% and David Johnson get the rest. But Cliff Kingsbury will find weaknesses in his opponents. And it just so happens that he's playing Tampa Bay. They've got one of the best run defenses in football. Their pass defense is terrible. So you could see a lot of passes go to David Johnson and to Kenyon Drake. Wouldn't surprise me one bit if Drake ended the game in Week 10 with four carries, but four or five catches on top of it. He's an okay flex. I think you really missed the chance to use him, but no one had much confidence in him. He had barely been with the team, and all the reports heading into the game was that Drake would have to share the football. He ended up sharing the football with nobody, and he was outstanding. And I think you have to chalk that one up to Cliff Kingsbury scheming up his running backs as best as he can.
All right, Dave. You know, Monday Night Football last night, Michael Gallup had an awesome touchdown where he hopped over a player. But first 3 weeks, he was great. Got a little banged up. Last 3 weeks, he hasn't been a great fantasy player. What do you make of him the rest of the season?
You know, it's funny that he played big while Ezekiel Elliott was knocking the rust off his game. Remember, Ezekiel Elliott held out, missed training camp.
Right.
And then it took him a couple of weeks to really get into shape, and now Zeke is starting to play like the Zeke we know and love. And we're also seeing Dak Prescott stick with Amari Cooper. Something interesting that I heard after the game from Jason Garrett was that when the Cowboys run play action, Jason Witten is one of the first reads. And you saw the target share last night was through the roof for Jason Witten. In PPR leagues, he was an absolute monster. Non-PPR leagues, he was kind of a dud. So I'm a little nervous about Michael Gallup ever getting back to where he was in the first few weeks of the season, but I still see him as a touchdown threat every single week, regardless of who they play. This week they take on the Vikings. Their secondary really has not played well all season long, certainly not to the standard that we thought that they would. And the offensive line is going to give Dak Prescott a chance to throw. So you could see Gallup come through with some decent numbers again this week. Like I said, he's a flex.
Dave, I want to talk something we haven't talked much about from a fantasy perspective is the Bengals, right? They've been a useless fantasy team. A.J. Green's been hurt. Tyler Boyd's had a million targets, but he's only had one touchdown on the season. He's been an up-and-down fantasy player this year. Joe Mixon's been a disaster. And Andy Dalton, although he had some good games early in the season, has basically been a disaster. With A.J. Green coming back and a new quarterback, are any of the Bengals players useful in fantasy?
You know, there's a reason why we haven't talked about the Bengals that much, Bull, and it's because they've kind of been sabotaged by their own offensive line. It's really – it could be the worst offensive line in football. You got five guys on the Browns that can stand up and laugh at them because they're so bad. You'd rather have the Browns line than the Bengals line. And it's clearly impacted the way that Joe Mixon runs because he tends to be a patient runner to begin with. And the offensive line can't give him the time to run. Honestly, so he struggles there. He's almost a better factor out of the backfield in the passing game, but they don't give him nearly as many chances there, and he's only been getting, I don't know, around 55% of the snaps the last three games for Cincinnati. And now here comes A.J. Green. We're thinking he's got a chance to play this week, and that's great, but it's with a rookie quarterback who he's probably caught maybe 12 passes from in practice since July because
if
he was
that
hurt.
Much.
And now that rookie quarterback is going to make his first NFL start behind that terrible offensive line against the Ravens. Even if A.J. Green plays, he's nothing better than a flex. You're going to hope that he makes a play or two just to get to 75 total yards. I think Tyler Boyd is in trouble. for the exact same reasons, because he's got a nervous Nelly rookie quarterback, bad offensive line, and the tight ends you can't trust. It's a horrible matchup. This Bengals team, you want to talk about tanking, they might be the ones doing the most tanking this year. They might end up going 0-16.
All right, yeah, they might. Although they are playing the Dolphins, so maybe we'll, and they're playing the Jets, so maybe they'll win one of those. We'll see. All right, give it rank these wide receivers PPR. You ready?
Yes.
Tyler Boyd, Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Gallup, Mike Williams, and Curtis Samuel for the rest of the season.
Gallup will be one. Williams will be two. Boyd will be 2.5.
Yeah.
And then I think Curtis Samuel will be next, and then poor Larry. Poor Larry. You know, as great of a schemer and the credit that I'll give Cliff Kingsbury, it's not working out for Larry Fitzgerald. He's not getting the target share that we thought. Christian Kirk is getting more. Their younger receivers are making more plays. He's just not running very many downfield routes, and he's certainly not getting much help when they get in the red zone. So he's going to be last on that list. And the other problem with Curtis Samuel, who's fourth on that list, is that now that Kyle Allen is under center the rest of the way, the two have combined for a catch rate of 51% since week three. Now, Samuel, it's funny because Samuel gets a lot of downfield throws from Allen. They're usually off target. He usually can't come up with them. But he does have three red zone touchdowns. He's very difficult to predict. In a week like this, Bowl, where there's six teams on bye, I think Curtis Samuel makes sense as a bye week replacement. And he could be a flex just in general. But I don't think you can really count on Curtis Samuel to be a helpful part of your fantasy roster. And you could consider dropping him if you're in a roster pinch because of all the guys that are on bye this week.
I'm curious about Ronald Jones. He had a good game this week. It seems like they're more committed to him now. Are you buying him as a running back three the rest of the season?
He might be a running back two the rest of the season.
Wow.
And I think you almost have to buy in because if you've been watching Tampa Bay football this year, you've seen that Peyton Barber has had a very slight smattering of good plays. Dario Grumbawale is their passing downs running back, strictly that. And Ronald Jones is really their best guy. He's done a full 180 now with how he's looked based on where he was this time last year. I don't think Tampa Bay's got a choice. I think they've got to keep leaning on him. He had over 70% of the snaps last week against Seattle. He looked good against Seattle. Tough spot for him. Now he's back at home against Arizona. I like his chances to be helpful this week. If he's a free agent in your league, he should be your number one priority. And if you're spending fab dollars, you know, you do silent bids for, you know, auction style to pick up your free agents, whatever you got left in your budget, spend it on Ronald Jones if you need a running back that can help you the rest of the season.
All right, rapid fire, Dave, you ready?
I'm ready.
Rest of the season, Michael Gallup, Josh Gordon, or Mohamed Sanu?
Gallup.
Aaron Rodgers or Josh Allen, ask Leash.
Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, I say don't get all hyped up about Josh Gordon going to Seattle. He's going to be a role player.
Okay.
Brian, I like Metcalf way better.
Brian tweets, would you trade Chris Carson and Kenny Stills for Keenan Allen and Matt Breida?
No, I wouldn't unless it was full PPR and I was just absolutely loaded at wide receiver.
Jamie, Ryan or Murray this week?
I'll take Kyler.
Timmy tweets, got Hopkins on a bye, Lockett as a wide receiver one, but if Thielen doesn't play, should I go with Auden Tate or Pascal? PPR.
Pascal. Yeah, Zach Pascal of the Colts. Yeah. He's their number one receiver so long as T.Y. Hilton is out.
Murdoch, got a guy in my league wants Drew Brees, and I have Lamar and Kyler. I need a running back. Is Drew J. Samuels fair for Philip Lindsay?
I almost think you don't have to throw in Jalen Samuels, but if that's what it takes to get the job done, it sounds like James Conner's on his way back.
Yeah.
That's the deal I would make.
Yeah. Yay or nay on Alshon Jeffrey the rest of the year?
I think he'll be all right as like a borderline number two receiver. That one will probably hinge on what your scoring system is. If it's PPR, I think he'll be cool. If it's non-PPR, you're going to have some weeks where you wish you never even drafted.
How about this blockbuster trade this guy made? He wants to know. We got to wrap, but last one. Who's got the better end of this? This guy got Lamar Jackson, McCaffrey, and DJ Chark in a trade. He traded Josh Jacobs, Mike Evans, Cooper Kupp, and Cousins. He got the better deal. He got McCaffrey and Lamar.
Yeah, he did, I guess. But, I mean, he probably left a lot of points on the table in that deal because those other players are going to continue to put up numbers. That's a close one. I'm not so sure that he got the best end of that.
All right, Dave. Good stuff as always, man. TV again tonight.
Yes, 8 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports HQ. We've got our live waiver wire special. We do it every Tuesday to help you get ready to, you know, make those ad drops that you need to help get your way into the fantasy playoffs. Bull, you know this better than anybody. It's that time of
year where
people are trying to make it. And, you know, whether your record is 4-5 or 8-1, you probably need a little bit of guidance on what to do off the waiver wire this week. So we're here to help you. That kicks off at 8 p.m. Eastern on CBSSportsHQ.com.
All right, Dave. Good stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Bull. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.